I recently began to reread The Hobbit. Anybody ever read The Hobbit? Yeah, The Hobbit's great. Okay, so I hadn't read it since the sixth grade, although I'd gone through it with, we listened to the audiobook a year or two ago. And it is, if you don't know, the story of a hobbit, which is one of those, well, they're little people, big feet, and they keep to themselves. And this particular hobbit, who's the protagonist of the story, Bilbo Baggins, is the respectable sort of hobbit who likes to stay at home, smoke his pipe, eat five meals a day, and mostly keep to himself. Now, that wouldn't make that interesting of a story. So, anyways, one day in his life, he's visited by the great wizard Gandalf. Now, Gandalf is a great wizard, and along with Gandalf came a company of dwarves, 13 dwarves to be sure. Thorin, Feely, Keely, Dwalin, Balin, Oin, Gloin, Dori, Nori, Ori, Bifur, Bofur, and Bomber. And in the middle, I really just wanted to read all of those names. In the middle of his visit by all of these dwarves, something is kindled inside him, and so he ends up leaving his comfortable life so he can trek out from the Shire across the treacherous wildlands to get to the Lonely Mountain, where eventually the dwarves would regain their kingdom from the dreaded dragon Smaug. Along the way, Bilbo Baggins is going to be transformed from the shy, quiet hobbit who likes to keep to himself and have breakfast and then second breakfast to a character who would literally face a dragon and live to tell about it. The Christian life is, in some ways, like this. The fact is, if we sit at home by ourselves in the relative comfort and safety, we will never be transformed. Even coming to church and watching the guy wave his hands and the people singing doesn't often lead to life transformation. As hard as I try to wave my hands around, we need, like Bilbo, a group, a fellowship, a band of brothers to go through life together, and so that we can have the kind of transformation in Christ that he's calling us to. And so, with others, we can face the trolls of life, slay the dragons, and one day see the treasure of the celestial city. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray as we open your word that you would guide us to know your truth and that you would inspire us to live the kind of Christian life that you have called each person to, not as a lone ranger, but as a band of a company of Christians. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Luke 1:8, 1-3, which we will not get to for a little while, why you should join a care group. This is a pretty straightforward sermon, and it's seven reasons why you should join a care group. And if I'm going to get through it, we should get going. Reason number one, be the church. Now, this is a pretty simple thing. Be the church. The church is not ultimately something that you just go to as a building. This is a lesson I hope you've learned a lot, but it's a little bit of a refresher. It's not something that you just watch as people who sit down here, but ultimately the church is a fellowship of people joined together by Jesus for a greater purpose. It's something that we all must join into. So care groups are an expression of this. Now, this isn't to denigrate what we do here. What we do here is the soul of the church. We gather together, we sit down, we sit under God's word, we worship together with the fellowship, modeling the thing that one day when we all join together around the Lamb and praise the name of Jesus together. And so we worship together. It's something that's important and core to what we do. But this is not a rock concert to see a performance. But this is an expression. What makes this important? What makes this important isn't the quality of the preaching, the music, but the fact that we are Christians gathered together doing these things. It's the fact that we are all called together in Christ that transforms this from a TED talk and a rock concert into something that's truly honoring to God. Now, the church is the body of Christ. And as Paul says here, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And all of us together must grow together into the fullness of what God has called us to be. And as me as a church leader, if I'm not empowering you guys out there to grow together in Christ, we are failing as a church. The Bible gives us so many of what I like to call the one another commands. And they're full of them. They're all the commands of what the church does to one another. And if we are not, you know, caring with other Christians, we can't do these things. So, number one, let's be the church. One another command, number one. So reason two, to fulfill the command to love one another. This is the most often repeated command, one another command in the New Testament. And it says it's like 14, 15 times, love one another. Jesus says it a lot because we forget it often. And this begs the question, how do we love? Like, how do you love? And if you've been married or gotten to know someone really well, one of the most important things about love is spending time understanding someone's needs and working towards those needs. Love isn't just something that we like, you know, I have this feeling of love. Oh, yeah, I love the church in general. It's just specific people I don't like. No, we have to love specific people. That's what the church is, because every member is a member of Christ. How? Now, if love is consistently caring for the needs of others and putting those before us, how do we know others' needs? And what it takes is time and connection. And so we think of care groups at Valley Alliance as a place where Christians can develop the time and the connection to get to know one another so that they can love one another. So those things can happen. You cannot love people effectively from a distance. And this is something I think we all know really well right now. You need to get close enough to them to express love. Because love mediated through a TV screen can only go so far. You know, love just can't exist on a Skype call. You need to be close. You need to have that time. So, number two, to be in a care group. Fulfill the command to love one another. Three, face life problems together. And our verse is, and this one's been on the sign for the last 2 weeks, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. Now, I love the book of Proverbs because the book of Proverbs, every time I read something in the book of Proverbs, I'm always like, that is the most ridiculously obvious thing that I've ever read. Of course, people who walk with the wise become wise, and the companion of fools suffers harms. You just look around. And yet, so often we end up like going along with fools. At least I did so a lot more when I was younger. And it's these obvious things that Proverbs reminds us of. So much of the Christian life cannot effectively be taught from the pulpit. Now, I still do this, and I think it's important, but I can't get into all the nooks and crannies of life as effectively as I kind of want to. The Christian life is, I wasn't going to say this, it's a little like COVID. Like, you don't just learn about it, but you catch it from somebody. And, yeah, that's a terrible example. But anyways, forget I said that. The Christian life needs to be learned from other people. And our care groups are a way that does that. It takes what's in the Word of God and gets it into the little specific ways and nuances of different life situations. Up here from the pulpit, I don't have a lot of experience. I don't have a lot of experience of being a mom of young kids. I've had young kids, but being a dad and being a mom is a little bit different. And so speaking into some of those things, I can't do as well. I don't know what it's like to be an empty nester. I don't know what it's like to say goodbye to a wife of many years. And yet, when I look out into this congregation today, I see people who are literally experts on all of those topics. And so, if you're struggling in these specific areas, the church can meet that need. And care groups are just a way where we just try to put people together into those. The second thing is that there are unique life situations that it's not like, you know, you've just lost a loved one, and I'm going to say this grand theological thing, and you're going to be like, oh, that's great. Now I'm like, okay, now. There's a lot of the Christian life that, you know, you can't teach through. You just have to endure. Like, you're enduring this season of life that's hard. And when we endure hard seasons of life, the thing that gets us through most effectively is someone else who loves, cares, and can sympathize with us in that season of life. And so we want care groups to be that, and that's a reason why you should be part of a care group. Reason four. Defeat sin together. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort, so that is like encourage, but encourage in a way that could be positive and negative, like encourage people to stop doing something stupid and to start doing something good. Am I allowed to say the word stupid? Foolish, that's the better word. To stop doing something foolish and start doing something good. Actually, I can say, like, sin is stupid, so I can say that. But exhort, we aren't allowed to use that word in our house about people, but you can use it about sin. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. One of the biggest problems with sin that gets into our life, is that it is deceitful. It fools us. It tells us, hey, this thing is going to be really awesome, when that thing is terrible. Maybe it's good for a little while, but the end is going to be terrible. And so many often you see Christians, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's in the news just this week, like high-profile Christians that end up caught in terrible sin. And you're like, how did this happen? I don't know exactly, but one way it happened was that they were trying to live the Christian life alone and not let other people into their lives. Because if you're just trying to face sin alone, you are going to be duped again and again and again, because it's, boy, it's hard to see the log in your own eye. But if you've got a faithful brother or sister who's like, hey, you know, talking about like a man here, it's like, hey, you know, I saw you, you know, talking with that girl that way, you know, that really wasn't, I don't know if that was appropriate what you said. Having someone there to check you in those ways, like that is what all of us need. I do the meme about the guy like looking and be like the other guy like stopping him. We need to be close to other Christians so they can help us to see where we fall short. And James 5:6, therefore confess your sins to one another. This is the most neglected command in the New Testament in the Protestant church today. Confess your sins to one another. Very simply, and we all know this, sin, like mold, grows in the dark, dies in the light. You talk to other people, you confess your sins, it loses its power. In a way that just talking to God sometimes, you know, I always kind of think this, you know, you confess your sins to God, but you're not confessing to another human being. You're still kind of holding something back from God even. Because, I mean, God already knows. And that other person can, you know, let you see how deceitful sin's being in your life right now. Okay, reason 4, defeat sin together. Reason 5, pray for one another. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. It is one thing, it's a good thing, you know, put prayer requests out on the prayer chain, and you know, the church is praying. But there is something amazing that happens when you are in a circle with people who know you, who care about you, who love you, pouring out your hearts together in prayer. It's a beautiful thing, something that we want to continue to cultivate in our care groups is our prayer together, earnest prayer. Furthermore, there are some prayer requests that you can't share in a big circle. You know, it would be rather awkward for me to be like, you know, hey, I'm really having, you know, problems with my marriage right now. I need to pray. Like, it would be a little awkward and sometimes inappropriate. But you have people who you trust, have built a relationship with. You can let them into those harder parts of your life to pray for those needs. And then probably the most important thing is that when we develop those relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ and those grow deep, we have people to pray for us when we can't pray for ourselves. When we can't get up to get to church, when we can't well up the faith to ask God. You know, there are people and that we've developed relationships with that are going through very dark seasons. And you know, some of those people we still pray for together. You know, part of Jamie and Vanessa's prayer group, you know, there are people we still prayed for. Because even when everything falls apart, when you develop those relationships, they will pray for you even when you can't. Reason 6. To have fun. Okay. I was like super serious things. It's also fun to get together with other Christians. You see this all over the New Testament. Philemon 1:7 is just one example. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed from you. And the joy of getting together with other Christians is something that we can enjoy. And so we get together our care groups. We're not just getting together, okay, we're going to study this and this and this and this. We also get together just to have fun with other Christians, because the Christian life isn't one of just dry study, but one of faith and joy in Jesus Christ as we join together with one another. Okay, this command, have fun. 7, because all, I think my battery's getting low. All good things need seven. Oh, I was also gonna say, yeah. So like Cyndi Lauper, we can just have fun. Seven. The church needs everyone to succeed in its mission. You can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Soon afterwards, he, Jesus, went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. This is a picture of Jesus still going around, the 12 who have been ordained as his disciples, going to be apostles, and they're doing this work. And, verse 2, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. Probably not the lady from the last story, but. And, verse 3, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager. So this guy, this person's like the in charge of, has a very important position at the governor's mouse. She's probably a pretty wealthy person, which is important for the next verse. And Susanna and many others who provided for them out of their means. And so these women who accompanied the 12 and Jesus provided financial support, maybe housing, maybe food and meals for Jesus and the 12. And the important thing to see here is that these people who were not like professional, like 12 disciples, were necessary for the work of the gospel going out. And the point is pretty simple in our church, is that every person is important. Every person has a gift to use, and that in our care groups, we want to enable each person in the church to be able to use their unique gifts, whether that's hospitality, whether that's teaching, whether that's prayer, to use their unique gifts in order to build up the whole kingdom of God, to build up the church. So, if you check your bulletin, you can actually see we have the care groups laid out. As I said, there's like three errors, but it's mostly all there. There's probably more we didn't see. That's the thing about errors. You don't see them until you do. And this gives us eight care groups that you can join. Actually, you can probably not join all of them because some of them are for specific things. Like, they said I couldn't go in the mom's group. Now, what we would like you to do is to find a care group that's either, you know, close to you or that, you know, you think you should do. Contact the contact person and get signed up. Most of these groups are size limited. They can only have 8 to 10 people. And we want you, if you're joining a care group, to be joining it for the length of the group. Most of them, that's going to be till next May. Some of them are a little bit shorter. And so we want you to commit to joining the group the whole time. Our care groups are how we care for one another, and I hope I gave you enough reasons. And the thing I'm going to close with, which is actually reason number 8 if you're counting, but 8's not a biblical number, is that in this time, all numbers are God's numbers, by the way, in this time, you know, we don't know what the future holds. Our 2 months from now, our care group ministry might be the only ministry of the church. And so this makes it even more critical that people get involved because, you know, the government, you know, they can say, you know, we can't meet here, but they can't kick us out of our homes. And this is going to be a way that we continue to be the church together.